Hello, and welcome to the Chris Bosch episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 103, which is in honor of him being the best player selected in the 03 NBA draft, who doesn't already have an episode named after him. Recording this one on the evening of Tuesday, October 1st, in the year of our Lord 2024. My name is Logan Wertman, and as usual, I'm joined by my cultured co-host, Jacob Roth. Jacob, how does it feel to be on the Chris Bosch episode?
It feels good. A guy that definitely, like, I feel like his time has gone on and he's, like, not in the league anymore. And obviously he had kind of the health-related end to his career.
Yeah,
I feel like he's a guy that, like, children in, like, 10 years aren't going to know who he is, and that's a travesty.
Yeah.
Like, the
honestly.
It's kind of going to be, like, the same thing with, like, Kevin Love, is nobody will remember, like, chubby glass cleaner Kevin Love. They'll only remember
him with LeBron.
Like, skinny LeBron Kevin Love.
Yeah.
I just feel like Chris Bosh will not get the love that he deserves on what he did individually, even after LeBron and D-Wade left, and was, he was in Miami alone.
D-Wade was still there, but yeah, after LeBron was gone.
I thought D-Wade left before Bosh left, but I might be mixing up my years.
I think he left Miami right after Bosh, because Bosh retired really early. Bosh retired in either 15 or 16.
Because he had the heart clot stuff. And then was 17, Wade's first year in Cleveland?
Well, Wade went to Chicago first, and I think that would have been 17,
17?
I would say. Either 16 or 17.
But I feel like it has to be 17. There's no way we were in high school. I feel like we weren't in high school when that happened, but I might be wrong.
2017 was our senior year of high school, like that season.
Uh-huh.
So that, like, our senior year would have been it was either our junior or senior year.
Maybe he went to Cleveland in 18. Maybe that's what I'm mixing up.
I think he went to Cleveland the last year LeBron was in Cleveland, and Dwayne Wade was only there for the first half of that season and got traded at the deadline for a second round pick.
Did he even really play after or not?
It was just kind of Miami. Yeah, he had like a legendary cap off to his Miami run.
I forgot that he went back to Miami. It was,
he had the game winner against the Warriors, banked in three. Yeah.
Yep.
And those Miami Vice jerseys.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and that's like become one of the most legendary Dwayne Wade jerseys, I feel like, even though he only wore them for like a half a season. Those Miami Vice ones.
Yeah.
I guess what I mean by legendary is I see that's like the most common Dwayne Wade jersey I see in the wild.
Oh, honestly. Okay. I was like, this is maybe also weird. My brain, I see the white Heat jersey, I think LeBron. I see the red Heat jersey, I think of Shaq. And then I see the black Heat jersey and I think of D-Wade. Just they're like when they only had the three and they didn't start doing all this crazy stuff. My brain just does that.
Are you talking about like the all white, all red, and all blacks that are like just white outline text? Or are you just talking about their normal jerseys?
Their regular jerseys before we had all this craziness.
Yeah.
They had an all red. They mostly were the all black or all white, but they also had an all red. And whenever I see that jersey in my brain, it's Shaq. I don't know why. No clue why.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I thought you were talking about those really weird ones, like the white hot ones that are like it's all white. Yeah,
because I don't think LeBron ever wore that.
Yeah, that was when it was the Heatles era. That was like the only time they wore them was with the Heatles.
I just mix up the city editions and all that dumb junk.
Yeah, I think that was before like we even had this modern like how the jerseys
constant
work,
revolving door of jerseys.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Chris Bosh, he's the best player in the 03 draft that doesn't already have an episode named after him, but he's the fourth best player in the draft behind LeBron, who was episode 61 for his career high. Carmelo Anthony was number 7, episode 7 for jersey number, and then D-Wade for episode 3. So that left it up to Chris Bosh.
For those that are upset, we definitely mentioned LeBron James in the episodes 23. And maybe six.
Yeah.
They were definitely mentioned. They just were, the nods were given to Bill Russell and Michael Jordan, respectively. So before we have someone that was not there, which is a common thing. Like that's a lot of episodes ago.
Uh-huh.
He was not forgotten.
Uh-huh.
He just was given second place in probably both of those.
Yeah. So. I don't think it was very controversial, to be honest. I didn't really consider it the other way. Other than maybe Bill Russell's just, you can't not give Bill Russell his own number. I think LeBron,
no one can wear it anymore.
Yeah, I think LeBron having the two different jersey numbers just hurts him a little bit in his case for each one individually.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got him though on his career high of 61 points. But anyways, before we get into anything, I first want to say thank you for listening. Please be sure to hit us up on Patreon or buy me a coffee if you would like to support us. That is patreon.com/hooptheory and buymeacoffee.com/hooptheory. All our links can also be found in the description of both the show and the episode wherever you're watching or listening to this. We would also greatly appreciate it if you would rate the show, leave a like or a comment. Of course, be sure to subscribe and follow the feed. And lastly, we'd also love it if you sent something into our mailbag for us to read and react to. Basketball related or otherwise, you can send those over to hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. Without further ado, let's get into the main topic that has, you know, it's caused a lot of discussion across the NBA world and even between us before we started recording. We had to fire up the recording because I didn't want us to get into too many of, you know, the hot topics or hot debates before we get, you know, into the podcast episode. So, and that is the shocking trade that was made a few days ago. As I mentioned, this is Tuesday, October 1st, as we're recording. I think this trade was made on Friday. Karl-Anthony Towns was finally traded from the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, he was a guy that has been talked about for years being on the trading block. And then all of a sudden, after a pretty good year, like in terms of how it might have been one of the best Timberwolves years ever, like in the franchise history. So it felt like the trade for him was not as looming as it used to be. It was not as like on the, you know, horizon, but you know, it did end up like happening still, even though he did a pretty good job down the stretch of the season, not in the last series, not in the series that sent him home in the conference finals, but against Denver was a huge reason why they won that series. And he got traded for Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle with the New York Knicks. I think a pick. I guess I didn't even have the...
I think it's 2 seconds.
2 seconds?
Okay. And then Charlotte's getting something because it's two of Charlotte's seconds. So I'm not sure, like, the exact specifics are still getting ironed out, but yeah.
Mm. And those are coming directly from Charlotte, or did New York just already have them, maybe?
So it's... They got Kat, and then... I'm trying to figure out where, but there are two picks from Charlotte. Oh, okay. I'm just reading through to make sure I don't miss anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's 2 seconds. Daquan Jeffries, Charlie Brown Jr., and Dwayne Washington Jr. And then just cash to Charlotte.
Where were those players going?
They're going to Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
No, those are going to Charlotte. To Charlotte, sorry.
Okay. From, I guess, a mix, probably. One of them or two of them might have been from the Knicks.
Sent Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, a 2025 first round pick.
Okay. That was
Kata Bates Diop to Minnesota.
And Kata Bates Diop. I didn't even know he was in the deal, to be honest.
Granted, in terms of like, this is all just to make the money work. In terms of on the court impact, none of them are really going to. Diop, maybe. Kata Bates Diop, maybe, but not super really in any kind of meaningful way.
Randle and DiVincenzo are the two guys that are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then Daquan Jeffries, 2 second-round picks, Charlie Brown Jr., Dwayne Washington Jr., and $7.2 million went to Charlotte. All of those left New York.
Oh, okay.
All of those assets did.
Makes sense. Oh, to take... That makes a lot more sense. Yeah, now I'm thinking about it. To take on Karl-Anthony Towns, albatross of a contract, which is honestly the only reason this trade was made. Like, from the Timberwolves' point of view, that's really the only upside, in my opinion, is that they got off of Karl-Anthony Towns' deal. This, in terms of basketball, has made them unarguably worse to me. I don't see the benefit that it's provided. Julius Randle fits almost in every way worse than Karl-Anthony Towns does on this roster. Dante DiVincenzo, I don't think, is a bad fit at all, but he also is coming into a team that already has a pretty established backcourt as far as starters go. And the rumblings were that he was not super thrilled about having to be incorporated in a smaller role in New York this year. Yeah. And so it's like now he's going to a place where that's kind of the same type of situation. So he'll be a second stringer with Nickeil Alexander-Walker probably in the backcourt there, unless they want to go with the new rookie that they drafted as a point guard. Can't remember his name off the top of my head. Bub Carrington.
Oh.
Is that who it was?
No, it's... was alleged to do some garbage things within the
chicken. Terrence Shannon, the other player. The player that got drafted higher than him. It was like a lottery pick.
It wasn't Carrington, because he's in...
Bob Carrington? In my head, I was thinking he was in Washington.
It might have been a Wolves pick that went somewhere else.
But Bob Carrington was traded. He was either traded from the Wizards. He was either a Wizards pick that was traded to the Wolves, or he was a Wolves pick that was traded to the Wizards.
He's a Wolves pick traded to the Wizards because he's on the Wizards currently.
Oh, he is? Okay. And then the Wolves draft picks. Who did they draft? Rob Dillingham. There we go.
Kentucky.
Kentucky point guard. Could not think of his name. But also their names just kind of run together to me. Carrington, Dillingham. Just kind of long,
goofy
names.
Goofy, silly last names that sound like a English sheriff in the 1600s.
English sheriff.
Sheriff Dillingham.
Yeah, no, that is pretty accurate. But I think that this just, it's not a great trade for the Timberwolves side of things. You seem to hold a slightly different opinion before we started recording.
Yeah, slightly, I think, is like the most important part of this is I think the Knicks still in theory won the trade, but like I don't think it's as lopsided as it seems to be. I just think that watching the Timberwolves play basketball, their second unit had zero offense at all. It was hard to watch bad. So even if it's Julius Randle won't come off the bench, it'll still be Naz Reid. And I think that's the other thing for me that makes the loss of Cat and his size not as like, oh no, it's because they have Naz Reid who stepped in and looked really good also. Mm-hmm. But I just think that while the Knicks definitely like won things, I just feel like having more guys that can not be useless offensively would be good for the, because that's what the T-Wolves ran into. They win games by only scoring 80 points because they get Ant to score a decent amount and they'd get stuff out of Cat also. I'm not saying Cat wasn't a positive offensively.
Like getting rid of Cat, how does that help their offense at all?
Off the bench, because Cat was never playing with the second unit ever.
You think the
it was Gobert playing with the second unit when they do their little rotation thing.
Yeah.
And so now, instead of Gobert, will be playing more with Ant, which I think uses Gobert offensively better anyway. Opens
then
up
being with Mike Conley.
Mike Conley was starting when he was healthy,
but he was playing with the when you had Gobert in the second unit. Who's the ball handler that's pairing with? What are you doing with Gobert? Wasn't it Mike Conley?
Now I don't know what you're saying. So, like, I just don't think that it's a Ant to Mike. Mike Conley's obviously better. But in terms of the second unit now, you actually have people that, like, I'm okay with them, like, having the basketball at times. Like, whether that's DiVincenzo.
I think he helps, yeah, for sure.
I think he helps a lot. I think Randall, in whatever way he gets rotated around in, I just think it makes him deeper. I mean, obviously they lost, but they... I don't know. I just think it's not as bad. And maybe I was just like, when we were talking before, I was like, everyone's saying this is the worst thing the T-Wolves have ever done. That's being hyperbolic. But I just feel like maybe it's not that bad. Like maybe it works out. Because I see a world where what if Julius Randle's like back to what he was? He was an all-star a couple years ago.
Yeah, but I felt way better about him doing that in a Knicks jersey than with... The Timberwolves is, I feel like, one of the weirdest teams to put Julius Randle onto because, like, he's going to be clogging everything. He's going into a team that their main issue, you were talking about the second unit, not sure, I haven't looked at, like, the stats or numbers to really pin down where their offense was at its worst, but I felt like just in general, their offense...
It was just bad.
Yeah, in the clutch and everything. Like, it was kind of clunky. Cat was, like, one of the main reasons, like the simple formula for their offense to produce anything was like ball in Ant's hands, Cat as an omega spacer.
Yep.
And then Mike Conley also a spacer or being able to use the ball in his hands, like, and Gobert rolling to the rim. Where does Julius Randle fit into that? I just feel like off the ball, he's going to be clogging things up because he's not much of a spacer. He likes to, when he does have the ball, use it around the elbows and just create an ISO. And then what is Gobert doing in that situation? And you're paying him a good amount of money too. I know that Cat obviously was a much bigger, more unfriendly deal. And that's the reason why this deal was made, is like the lesser of two evils.
Because then they would have lost Naz Reid no matter what. Now they can just don't even have to worry about it. They can keep Naz Reid and not be into the double upper apron. Yeah. So
I feel like their moves aren't over. To be honest, I think they'll move off
Flip
of Julius
Randle. Yes.
If not, then he's an expiring deal. In theory, he has a player option for next season, which I feel like with the market on Randle, I feel like he'll probably pick that up. like he's probably not going to deny that and go find another contract.
Yeah.
So you probably have him for next year also if you do end up keeping him. And to me, I just think that the real winner of this trade, in my opinion, is the Nuggets. Like, because the...
That's fair.
The Wolves are like...
And the Celtics. You want to... I'll take... instead of having, like, Julius Randle for all that craziness, what he does, like, on KP, now the main... Because Mitchell Robinson, we talked about in the Atlantic episode, can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
So now Kristaps Porzingis in playoff time is going to get guarded by Kat. I'll take that.
I'd rather have Almost Kat always. Guarding him than... You, I guess, did Randle... Was he, like, some sort of KP stopper?
No, he just... The way that they... Because they'll have to play the legitimate center. Yeah, I'm content. I'm very happy with this.
You'd rather have Kat guarding, like, as a Celtics fan, you'd rather Kat guard KP than
not
Julius
just
Randle?
Kat guard KP, but Kat have to guard KP and then go do other stuff.
Oh, that's the stuff keep that away I'm from fine the rim. With. You're yes. saying? Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Because like I just and obviously he could do that with Randle, but Randle's just. I mean, he's not a great defensive player.
Randle's not the rim protector that Kat is, so.
Yeah, but you just keep him away from the rim, and then everyone else just goes and eats. Like, I don't know. I was happy to see this. Get everything shaken up and stirred up, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I think it doesn't... I mean, I don't know. The Knicks, I think it helps quite a bit, because they're... It adds like an injection of spacing into their offense. That,
size.
And size. Yeah. It's like having, instead of Jericho Sims, who is the possible potential like starter this season heading into the year, unless they went with like their best just five man lineup without.
And had Josh Hart play small ball center or something.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Probably Randle or Anunoby as like the small ball five.
Well, I don't know if Randle's back for the start of the year. I think that's still up for debate.
Oh, really? Randle is?
I might be crossing my wires on that, but...
Yeah, but regardless, it was not looking great for the Knicks in terms of their big rotation. And this is, like, a really good upside for... As far as just basketball fit, like, a guy who can doesn't need the ball to be useful. In fact, like, one of the... He is probably the best spacer as a five in the NBA. Just being out there.
Are Kat and Tibbs good? That was the other thing that like
that was
gnawed
what
at
I was,
me.
Yeah, I have that written down also. It's like in terms of the negative for the Knicks, it's like personality wise, this is a kind of a weird thing because Kat.
Like we've already seen, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Which I'm sure they'll probably be like, yeah, that was years ago. And it's, you know, Kat's at a different stage of his career. And
which is true. Mm-hmm. I think we saw that last year. Kat seemed like a different type of player. But yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely not a Tibbs guy. I wouldn't call Karl-Anthony Towns even at this point a Tibbs guy.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a good fit in terms of basketball, but personality wise, yeah, it did seem weird. And people were making a big deal. I don't know if you saw this about Jalen Brunson in that press conference, how like they were like saying that he was throwing shade at Kat. By saying who's Carl, like I don't know who Carl is or whatever.
No, they were all playing dumb because Kat was spotted outside of the arena like before media day. So everyone was like, what? We got Kat?
Yeah.
Who's Carl? Tibbs even was like, nice try. Like as his quote, like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I did not see the who's Carl clip. I've seen like it quoted, but it was all of them being like, what? Who's what?
Yeah, I actually didn't even see all of that, so that makes more sense. What I was going to say was when I saw the clip, I thought the way that when the reporter said something about blah, 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 Carl asked a question about Carl to Jalen Brunson, Jalen was just like, who's Carl? Like, I thought he was making fun of the fact that the reporter said Carl. Because I'm sure most of the players are like, they don't think of him as Carl. You know what I mean? They call him Kat. So I thought it was like how Devin Booker used to, I don't know if you've seen the clip of how Devin Booker was like, don't call me Devin. That's weird. Like call me Book or Booker. But I thought it was one of those type of things. But what you said is actually probably more the explanation for why that wasn't.
Also, knowing the Knicks group of people,
yeah,
like those guys are all seem to be kind of like that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just are kind of like dumb and giggly about stuff. I do wonder. It feels bad we never got the real Nova boys though. That kind of blows.
Yeah, that is a weird piece of this, and I felt like this was just kind of rushed into. But in terms of the Knicks, like basketball-wise, like I said, I think this is a good move.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have hated seeing them run it, like go into the season, see what things look like. But my guess is there was some sort of maybe if there was another team that was like showing an ounce of interest in Cat around this time, like that was probably what pushed Leon Rose and the Knicks front office into action to make it happen.
I also wonder how Cat will do in New York, because that's a thing that like people say is not a thing,
and pressure then some players, wise, that yeah, type of thing.
And then players get to New York and it's not quite the same.
Yeah,
but granted, I think Cat has matured like a ton over the past season or two seasons. But I'm just curious to see how that works. That piece of the puzzle works as well.
I don't know if you saw. You know how Cat tweeted after he found out about this deal? He just tweeted like dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
And apparently one of the top replies on Twitter was a Knicks fan that said, you better not bring this soft to New York next season.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Which I just thought was funny. But
yeah. And then because I saw he very clearly was not told something was happening.
Oh yeah, I think this caught everybody by surprise that was involved.
Yeah, because I saw a clip of him and his dad just in Minnesota's like training facility gym, and they were just shooting free throws at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, I think because like, he was gonna get on a plane and head to New York the next morning.
Yeah,
I think.
It was just like,
mm-hmm.
I mean that's tough.
Right before right as training camp is starting. Honestly,
yeah. Camp started for people. Also figured out why the Celtics and Nuggets had early media days. They're going to Abu Dhabi for that preseason thing.
Oh, I knew that, but I didn't piece those two things together.
That is why they had the two early.
Yeah.
Celtics did it last Monday, and then the Knicks or the Nuggets did it Thursday, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then,
I think Tuesday was the Celtics, right?
Maybe it was Tuesday. It was Tuesday, and then Monday now is the rest of the teams did theirs.
Yeah.
So Monday yesterday. It's just a weird deal. I don't think it makes me feel any different about the Knicks. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I'd like to see how the fits work.
Mm-hmm.
And if the T-Wolves are done. Because I'm not as off on the Julius Randle fit. Or I feel like the fit won't be perfect, but I'm not like, I feel like it'll just work. It'll just click somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I think Finch will get it figured out. I like him enough that I don't know why. I'm not as skeptical on that part of it. Well, on the Randle piece of it. And then he'll probably get moved like you said too, which is something to think of. What do they get for Randle?
Yeah, maybe like Brandon Ingram. And Randle could help out with the big spot in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I wouldn't hate. It's not awesome because Brandon Ingram.
Was he already there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was like, that feels a season. Too right. Feels too correct. But
I
okay.
think either Zion's rookie year or the year before. It was the year before because it was AD's last year in New Orleans where he was like barely playing, and when he was playing was kind of half-assing.
Mm-hmm.
That was Julius Randle's kind of breakthrough a little bit. He had like a mini breakthrough in New Orleans. It was like, oh, I averaged 20 points a game for a bad team. And then he went to New York.
All-star or almost all-star?
Yeah, he was second team All-NBA.
Like, I knew it was really good, but yeah.
I think twice. I think in 2020 and 2022, he was first team or second team All-NBA, which is insane.
Nuts.
Yeah, so he's, I do think that there's like a borderline all-star player there within him still, but I don't think that the fit to bring that out is there in Minnesota, because like you know how you've said about the Nuggets, how
but what if they like totally redo it? Just a new offense comes out essentially.
Well, like what you've said about the Nuggets, about how we don't have any shooting. Like now we're twice as good of a shooting team as this Minnesota lineup is going to be. You got Conley and Ant shooters, Jaden McDaniels, fine shooter, Like, not he's passable as like a catch and shoot guy. And then Julius Randle, subpar shooter, and Gobert, non-shooter. So there's not like much there when compared to, I'd say, I think the Nuggets have, in their starting lineup, have two shooters that are better than any one of those players.
He's not
players.
As bad as you make him sound.
Who?
Julius Randle. So his best year was 2021. He shot 41% from three.
On how many attempts?
And that was, I'm not looking at that. I'm just looking at the percent.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not high. And then had the weird thing in 2022 where I think he got hurt, or I don't know what it was, but he shot 31%. And then 34% in 2023, 2024, he got hurt at the 31%. So he's not a great shooter, but I was thinking it was like Gobert bad, like terrible, terrible.
Well, that's why I used very different descriptors for them. I said Randle is a subpar shooter, Gobert's a non-shooter. Like,
except for that one time.
Yeah, that we don't
that
need
to talk
about. That
clip has recently rotated around Celtics Twitter.
And oh, I thought you were talking about our clip. I was like, what?
No.
I thought you were talking about our clip of us talking about that.
No, the clip of Gobert hitting that fadeaway.
Yeah.
It said, in the caption was, what's the moment you knew that Boston was going to win the finals? And then someone was like, not going to lie, right here.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, actually, kind of. Yeah, a little bit.
Me too, honestly. That's when that was the moment I was like, I don't think we're going to win. But anyways, yeah, Randle, I will push back. He's had one good shooting season his entire career.
You never know.
So if he can get back to that four seasons ago, maybe. But I don't, even back then, I don't know how tight people were really guarding him on all those attempts. He's not the spacer that Cat is in any way, shape, or form.
No.
But yeah, so I think he's going to clog things up quite a bit, and I don't love the fit for the Timberwolves, but I love it for the Nuggets because Julius Randle on Jokic throughout the years is complete dead meat. And then Cat was like one of the few guys, because he's got the size and length to at least stay with Jokic. And then you have Gobert roaming as like that big key piece of that game plan of why it was so deadly for the Nuggets. It clogged everything up, was hard to combat. But then the minutes in that series, that Timberwolves series, because I know some people probably say like, oh, just swap in Naz Reid, have him guard Jokic. If you look at the Timberwolves series, the minutes that they had Naz Reid and Gobert on the floor together against Jokic, those were the minutes that Jokic completely destroyed them. Because when he's being guarded one-on-one by Naz Reid, he was just getting him into foul trouble and cooking him. For some
Except
reason,
for game seven.
Cat was guarding him.
The Naz Reid on the backside. Okay, I was crossing up my people.
Cat and Gobert guarding Jokic was like the key to games. Every game that the Wolves won. Mm-hmm. Game five.
Naz Reid just had the play.
What play?
Didn't he have like the strip block thing at like the end
Jokic
of
Jokic? Maybe there was
I think that
might have happened. But in game five, that was the game that the majority of that game, Jokic was being guarded by Gobert and Naz Reid. Cat was the third most
because they had it weird.
And yeah, and that was the game that Jokic had arguably the best game of his life. So, I'm not too worried about Naz Reid being the one-on-one matchup with Jokic there, and especially with that, when that's their best option to go with, is having Naz Reid guard him. So I'm loving this from the Denver point of view. I heard Bill Simmons and his reaction to this trade say the complete opposite. He was like, weirdly, I think the losers of this trade is Denver, because so I think this kind of signals, like he was saying that it's signaling from the Wolves that the Wolves don't need to worry about Denver anymore. Because like, oh, we need to focus on beating other teams. We don't need to be this Denver stopper. And so he was saying like, oh, see, everybody's out on Denver or whatever. I'm like, if you think that's...
I think that just to make his take of I'm a big Jokic guy even more vindictive that he can say later on.
What do you mean?
Like, he'll say it with like, I've always been high on Denver. I love Jokic. He's one of my guys. Everyone was out on him. Look at what the Timberwolves did. They didn't think Denver was going to be a problem.
Oh.
I feel like it's posturing for making his take look better later on down the road.
But it was weird.
That's insanity. That's insanity to think that just after one hard-fought series, they're like, the Nuggets aren't an issue anymore. Granted, I think that the Nuggets, if fits don't fit well, could not be as much of a, that's the team to knock off the top of the pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's to the point where you can be like, we don't need to care about them anymore. They have the best player on the planet. You'll always need to worry. LeBron could be playing with high schoolers, and you would still need to, like, prepare for the game. You can't just, like,
well, yeah,
skip it.
I don't know if he's saying that. They got rid of their Jokic stopping formula, though, to a certain extent with this. And but, like, to me, that's not a bad thing for the Nuggets. That's the opposite. Like, even if it's that teams aren't viewing the Nuggets as much of a threat as they once were, I'm still okay with that, because that is the best the Nuggets have ever performed at, is when they're viewed as not the priority or not, you know what I mean? Like, we're not viewed
as world beaters.
There we go. So that's where I'd like to be, honestly, because that's where I feel like we're at our best.
I think that's what most teams are. I feel like there's a very rare formula. That honestly might be what splits up, like, the insane great teams from just really good teams. Like the Warriors, when they knew everyone was like, we are their number one priority, and we're still insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, like, a team is great. But when, like, everyone's gunning for you and you start to kind of stumble, which is the normal thing to do, I feel like those are just really good teams as opposed to, like, the historically great teams.
Yeah. That might be a fair way to look at it. But yeah, so all in all, I love this trade for the... I shouldn't say love. I really like this trade for the Knicks. There's points of it that I feel like are potential downsides. But overall, I think it was a trade that you make 9 times out of 10 for if you're the Knicks, to me.
Yeah.
And then for the Timberwolves side of things, I guess it was kind of like moves that the Nuggets have made this offseason, where it's like it's an addition by subtraction somewhat. Because of the huge cat contract that has 4 years left on it, and he'll be being paid over $60 million by the end of it per year, and would cause, you know, some issues with how they want to build the roster in the future, in the short term.
It just would remove your ability to actually build a roster. You'd be stuck in the Suns nightmare where you're like, anybody want to come here for literally $2 million a year? We don't really care who you are.
Yeah.
We just need X number of guards, wings, and bigs. We don't really care. Sorry, our wing allotment is full. You're not going to play almost anyway. That's nightmare fuel. I'm terrified for that reality to maybe happen at some point.
And the Knicks are kind of locking themselves into that spot with all of their money now.
All this to be runner-up for the next 3 years.
But at least we've got a good basketball team in New York City as the Knicks, which is just fun.
Never bad. That is never a bad thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess moving on from this trade, there's a couple other things I did want to like gloss over before we get into divisions. So this is kind of going to be like a double episode somewhat. But we got Dikembe Mutombo passing away at the very young age of 58 from... I think it was brain cancer.
Brain cancer.
Which I remember him when he was diagnosed with that a couple years ago. But I kind of forgot about it, because when I saw it pop up again, or when I saw that he passed away, I was initially like very surprised. But then I remembered, I was like, I vaguely remember a diagnosis a couple years ago. It is sad. And it's like, you know, one of the most, maybe the most iconic Nugget. You know, not saying that he was like the Nuggets goat or anything, but he, like, when a lot of people think of the Nuggets franchise, like retro throwback Nuggets eras, like Mutombo is like one of those dudes for sure. Like the Blue Rainbow 55 Mutombo jersey.
Yeah.
That might be the Nuggets jersey. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Like,
going to Nuggets games, any jersey that's not of a current player, that is by far the most common one.
And I think if Melo would have left on better terms, it would have been the baby blue Melos, but you're probably right.
Yeah, that's almost shunned in a lot of Nuggets corners. And it's a kind of a generational gap, I feel like. But
oh, really?
Yeah, like people our age more so, I feel like there's a lot more Nugget or Melo apologists, but really any Nuggets fans older than me are like very much they not cool with Melo. Like, don't even rank him in like top 10, like all time Nuggets
of all time.
Yeah, that type of thing.
So they're going to be pissed when his jersey and Jokic's jersey both are retired.
If
they're going to be livid,
happens. Yeah, they're definitely going to have something to say about that. Yeah, that's for sure.
What if Jokic leaves like that? Then what happens?
Jokic leaves like what? Like
he won't. This is entirely hypothetical.
Like forcing a trade somewhere.
Like if they just don't help him and he's like, I'm getting very upset. I would like to win more.
That would be different. Carmelo did that to a contender, to one of the best teams
that's
in the league.
True. That's very true.
We went to the conference finals. We were
fresh off a conference finals loss.
Went like literally toe-to-toe with, he went toe-to-toe with Kobe Bryant in the Western Conference Finals. And it was like, I don't want to be here anymore.
OKC people are a lot nicer to KD for doing that, though.
Wait, what do you mean? People hate Kevin Durant. Especially,
I feel like it's not as bad.
Really?
Yeah. For how removed it is year-wise?
How many are worse than that, though? There's like, I mean, Vince Carter with the Raptors, he's getting like a parade, you know, like.
No, I'm not saying that like what KD didn't do wasn't worse. I just feel like KD is not as hated.
Oh, really? That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there's not many situations like that you can think of where it's uglier than that. Like, that's one of the.
KD?
Yeah. I mean, LeBron.
Even now?
LeBron came back to the Cavs. So, like.
Melo got booed like 3 years ago when he came to Denver.
Yeah. He got. I mean, so does KD in Oklahoma City.
Not as often as. My brain doesn't register that at all.
Really?
Like, on broadcast, it's not like this overwhelming boo that I notice.
Well, I mean, when have they played each other at like a critical moment? Like, OKC
has
been.
They haven't ran into each other at like a big moment time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the Nuggets were playing against the Blazers in the playoffs. And that's why I think you probably remember that with Melo.
Maybe. Oh, I more remember because Melo had an insane game.
Yeah.
That's more what I remember.
It was in the playoffs, though.
Yes. I just remember more that he got booed and then looked physically hurt.
And
had
like 15 points
in an insane game.
In a quarter, yeah.
In his role, like in his bench role,
uh-huh.
He just was big.
Yeah. And so that's also the other thing, is it's an easier part or point for the whole crowd to react and boo when a guy's coming off the bench. Because he's right as he's checking into the game, everybody's booing.
Booing.
But it's not like they were booing every time he caught the ball and all, you know, it wasn't like that type of thing.
Yeah.
So that, like, if KD was coming, like, if KD plays against the Thunder and is in Paycom Center and he checks in off the bench, like, I'm sure the whole crowd is probably going to boo. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
But that's just me. I'd be very surprised if they didn't. I mean, they booed in Toronto, they booed Vince Carter all the way up until he retired. And like, and 4 years later now, for some reason, they're like making him the first retired
also,
jersey.
Can we get an official, like, these are the jerseys from somebody?
Well, I mean, all of these have so far have been leaks, so.
No, I know, but like when we didn't wait, it wasn't less than a month away from the season when we found out. Last year, was it?
I think officially it probably was, but I feel like last year there was like way less like different rumors of.
I thought they did that stupid like stay tuned in for Monday where they just like the NBA tweeted that picture of all those lines and it was the city edition courts.
That was the in-season
they were
tournament
like days
thing.
Apart. They were like days apart. They were like in tandem because they announced that the city edition jerseys in the first half of the season, wore the in-season tournament jerseys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then after the in-season tournament, they're like, wear them whenever you want. And some teams wore them a lot, some teams did not.
So that's probably what that's probably why they announced it in that fashion. Like this year,
there's like an insane amount.
Yeah, in the playoffs too. I hate that we have like, but both of Jamal's game winners against the Lakers are wearing
those
jerseys. Yeah, and balloons are going off at a very inapt time. On my screen, but and also Jokic's potential best game ever was wearing those 5-2-8-0 jerseys, I think. Either it was either game 5 or game 7 that we were wearing those jerseys.
I hope history looks on those jerseys poorly. I hope.
Yeah, I hope.
All
I mean,
of them,
I
even the new ones, they're not great. They're fine. They're not great.
I like the jerseys a lot if they didn't say that. If they didn't say 5-2-8-0, I would love them, honestly. These
but
new
they're
ones.
The Mile High City, my guy.
What?
It's Mile High.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
The Mile High City.
I wish that's what it said, honestly. I wish it said Mile High City. Or like, you know, with our blue jerseys in the circle.
MHC, that would go hard.
I would like Mile High City. We already have jerseys that do that. I wish we just did that again instead of 5-2-8-0 as like the... I think having just numbers and then a jersey number below, like that's just too much numbers.
Our jersey is way worse than any of your jerseys have ever been, so I don't even...
I totally disagree with that. I think the Celtics jerseys are completely like inoffensive, completely fine, completely passable. I don't know why everybody's making such a big deal about the Celtics jerseys.
If you're the only one, maybe it's a trend. You're the only person I've heard that is not like, those are atrocious.
When have I been afraid of having my own opinion, though?
No, I'm not saying that you should be. I'm just saying you're the only person I've seen not outrightly be like, that's gross.
Yeah, I know. That's why I have my reaction was so strong, is that I don't understand why everybody thinks they're terrible. They're like, fine. They're not like ugly. They're just like, here's the Celtics jersey. They look a little different. They're just kind of throwing in something new with the Celtics like design. It's not like... You don't recognize them.
There's nothing Celtics design about it at all.
That's what makes it a little different. But I still
you could put
think that
Grizzlies
it's...
on the front of this, and people would think it's a Grizzlies jersey, like it's supposed to be.
Same colors and everything.
Yeah,
I think that it works about 10 times better as a Celtics jersey than it would a Grizzlies.
You could put Portland on the front of this because Portland does weird color stuff, and people would be like, "That checks out."
Kind of. I still think Celtics are, it makes more sense, but like, I don't know. I just don't think, just because it's different doesn't make it terrible. Like everybody does a little bit different stuff every once in a while. Like Utah's had lots of weird things and people don't hate it.
I'm cool with different and weird if it like feels and makes sense. This doesn't to me at all.
Okay. Yeah. But I think the Nuggets 5-2-8-0 jerseys was all of those issues rolled into, it was all of them at the same time. It was like, it's weird.
Also,
doesn't look like a Nuggets jersey.
I have not seen a single leak with a number on it. Maybe the number will fix my brain. I don't know.
On the Celtics jersey?
On any of them.
Yeah, I wish they didn't show it without... Like, I'm like, what is the point of that? One of the most important parts to me about a jersey is the number font. Like, that's one of the most important parts about a jersey design to me, is the font of the numbers. It's like, why don't you show those on your mock-ups? Like, I don't get that at all. Anyways, trying to get back to the segment we're supposed to be in right now is saying goodbye to a legend of basketball, Dikembe Mutombo. He, what kind of spurred that side tangent was he is the Nuggets jersey, the number 55, rainbow blues. He has the holding the ball over his head in that, like, iconic moment when the Nuggets upset Seattle, the Seattle Supersonics in the 1-8 matchup in the first round, which is just a big moment in Nuggets history. The finger wag, Mount Mutombo nickname, all those things. Like he's honestly has a argument for being like the most iconic Nugget, to be honest, which is kind of wild for only spending 6 seasons there. Hailing from what Stephen A. called, I don't know if you saw this, but on ESPN's segment that they did, he called the Dominican Republic of Congo, which I just thought was hilarious. But the Democratic Republic of Congo, where he's given a lot back to. Apparently, he's spent a lot of the money he's earned over his career, like just giving back to his home city, his home country, the NBA Cares program, NBA Without Borders, all that kind of stuff, building hospitals in the DRC, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, just kind of a legend of the game. Everybody who's ever said anything about Mutombo that I've heard, like, it's always a positive thing, super nice guy, kind of just like the life of the party. And yeah, it's just kind of sad seeing somebody go so young, to be honest. So,
yeah.
And also when like looking through his stuff, one new tidbit or fact I learned that I didn't know before Fiondu Kabingele, the player from Florida State, who was drafted around the same time like Trent Forrest was, I think, or Terrence Mann. He was on the Clippers. He's been in and out of the league. I think he was on the Celtics roster a year or two ago, pretty recently. He's apparently Dikembe's nephew. I didn't know that.
Oh, cool. But
That's news to me. And then also the last thing I wanted to tack on was he's one of the GOATs of one of the GOAT basketball programs in college, Georgetown, one of the honestly, I probably solidified as like a top four Georgetown or top four Hoya, you know, of all time, which is just kind of a pretty elite club to be a part of, with Alonzo Mourning and Patrick Ewing and Allen Iverson, you know. But yeah. And then other news, Zach Lowe fired from ESPN for some odd reason.
We're not going to have a real episode if we go into this too in depth. I'm going to not talk. You just lay it out, because I'm going to get fired up and there won't be a divisions part of this episode. So I'm just going to stop.
Yeah, I just don't understand what they're doing. But, you know, they're prioritizing a different era of their basketball coverage, being more clippable TV segments with Kendrick Perkins saying wild out of pocket things instead of, you know, thoughtful commentary and writing. Honestly, ask most people who the best basketball writer on the planet is. I think the consensus pick would be Zach Lowe.
In the history of the planet, in the history of sports writing, regardless of the sport, Zach Lowe is in the conversation.
Uh-huh. At the very least. And I don't know if I said, yeah, I said fired was the word I used. They laid off him because of his big seven-figure deal, I think is the reason why. But still, like,
the thing that irritated me also is they claimed it was part of when they fired Christian Ponder's wife. I should remember her name, but I'm blanking on it.
I don't even know who that
Laura,
is.
Laura Ponder, NFL, and then RG3. They're saying it was a part of that, like,
layoff.
Lauren Ponder.
They're saying it was a part of that layoff period,
like,
or
group. Group? That, like,
was, yeah, that announced?
It's not Lauren.
Was that announced a while ago or something?
Yeah, like 2 months ago.
So did people know the Zach Lowe thing was coming?
That's what they are claiming. It was part Sam Ponder. It's Sam Ponder. And RG3 were fired a month and a half, 2 months ago, whatever. And then they were, ESPN was like, oh no, this was always part of the plan to have Zach Lowe looped in with this.
I found that hard to believe, because just the day before this was announced, he had JJ Redick on his podcast. And there was a part, yep, in there where they were talking about, like, Zach Lowe was talking about the higher ups at ESPN, how he got them to agree to having for him to go on JJ Redick's podcast in the past so he could get an interview with JJ Redick when he becomes Lakers head coach. He like said that, kind of predicting that was going to happen. So it was just kind of like the way he was talking about it, it sounded like he had, at least he didn't give any sort of hint to like he knew anything was up. It just was weird to hear him talk about them in that way, when it was like now knowing that he just got laid off from them, you know, the next day or whatever. It's just interesting. And I haven't seen any news on where he's going or what his plans are now.
I don't think that there has been any. I would heavily wager that he will maybe potentially rejoining his former several writers from Grantland, mm-hmm, and going to the Ringer, which has just kind of turned into Grantland too.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because he's a big bill.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That would be the make or break thing with the Ringer, is whether or not they can afford him right now. I'm not sure.
But I also don't know, like, where else.
They just lost KOC. So you would think maybe there would be a spot freed up for him. Obviously, KOC's money not the same as Zach Lowe, but
no, in terms of coverage gap, there's absolutely a place. But yeah, it's a tough thing.
And then I saw The Athletic, like, this is from people that are speculating, who think that the main two contenders of where he could go is the Ringer or The Athletic are the two places.
Which The Athletic would be the worst case scenario, in my opinion.
Because of the paywall thing?
The paywall, and then also the paywall. Yeah. I've been able to refrain, even though The Athletic has great Husker sports writers, if you did not know, Logan, for Husker football. Mitch Sherman, a dog. Anyway, I've avoided the paywall, but if Zach Lowe is unattainable.
So isn't it like $1 a month or something like that for The Athletic, I want to say?
I think that's only when you sign up. I think it's more than that.
Oh, gotcha. That would make sense. But
I want to say it's like $9 a month. It's not like an absurd amount.
But just for reading articles, like, yeah, it seems a little, I don't read enough articles from like the same outlet to pay a subscription to do that. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's only $2.
Hmm.
Oh, $6.25 a week.
Is that like all, is it included in like a full New York Times subscription? Because I know New York Times owns The Athletic now. They bought them a few years ago.
So it's $6.25 after the deal's over.
Okay. So not awesome, but still not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then other news of this, like that I kind of related to, we were just talking about KOC, Kevin O'Connor being not let go, but he left the Ringer to kind of not make a lateral move, but make like a kind of be, fill a bigger void in the Yahoo Sports realm by going over there. And then do you remember, I thought I remember seeing him the day like that it was announced that he was leaving, him put on his story, like saying something about how he was going to, they were going to record another mismatch episode, and like they were going to
happened because Chris Vernon recorded one and he just had a little beginning.
Yeah.
So no, I'm assuming something scheduling happened, or they're buddies, so I'm assuming that it just was.
It's just weird that he wouldn't
listening.
Yeah, it was just weird that he wouldn't like acknowledge it.
He's got a lot of stuff going on, I'd assume.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just weird. Did you listen to that episode? The one that he did with Dave Jacoby? And I mean, it was just not the mismatch, but it was like the way he announced, like nothing is happening to this show. I'll still be doing it. Like, it was like, well, the fact that one half of the mismatch is not there anymore, that's kind of, can't say nothing is happening with the show. Like, you know what I mean? But I get what he means, that it's like scheduling wise, it's still going to be there. But him and Dave Jacoby, who's I don't mind him as just a guy, like doing podcasts and stuff, but in terms of like actual basketball stuff, it's like a very far away from Kevin O'Connor. Like Kevin O'Connor is like a basketball nerd. Dave Jacoby's like a sports generalist, like a guy that knows like a little bit about all sports. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like for me listening to Dave Jacoby, like I feel like he knows less about the NBA than Vernon does. And Vernon is like the, you know, supposed to be more of that foil to Kevin O'Connor, but so it's just it's a weird dynamic. I don't know if that was a full-time cast. I don't know if it will be. I think they're going to be trying some different things, some different combinations of people. J. Kyle Mann would be my vote on who should replace KOC on the mismatch if they do want to do that, like try to replace him. But if it's like somebody like Dave Jacoby, I honestly probably won't even listen to it anymore, to be quite honest. There's just too many good basketball podcasts out there that that one is just, there's not enough there in terms of actual basketball substance for me to be like, oh yeah, I want to cue this one up. But that's just me. And I thought that it was weird that they ended up not really saying anything about it other than that it happened, that he was gone. But yeah, I guess that could be it on stuff before we get into the divisions. Getting into divisions now, this might be a little bit shorter one, which is fine because the Southeast Division is kind of booty cheeks.
Bad. They're just all terrible. In honor of the Southeast Division, for those who are not viewing with your eyeballs and are only listening, I am wearing my Derek White We Want Boston jersey. It's in the same style as Heat Culture's jersey, and it was made by some guy that does, I should remember who it is and give him a shout out. Anyway. He's got more people that listen to him than listen to me. So he did stuff for Boston and their cool jerseys. So I have my Derek White We Want Boston jersey on in honor of the Southeast Division.
Yeah.
But with that being said, and the timer has begun.
The Heat Culture. Oh, the timer's begun for the Hawks? We haven't even said it.
No, it hasn't.
Oh.
No, it hasn't.
The Heat, those jerseys, the Heat Culture one, they brought that back again. So like,
yeah, just carbon copy.
Yeah. I hate that. Honestly, I don't get
There's worse ones. There's worse ones.
I think it's the Nuggets are worse. But as far as like the putting the logo team like typeface on the jersey, that and the Nuggets are the worst ones. Not at all. Heat Culture, like why? Just get out of here.
You hate the team's font on jerseys, like type, like it's just typing whatever. Well, culture's not.
I'm saying theirs is the worst ones. Them and the Nuggets. I'm fine. Yeah, I want teams putting their stuff on, but like to have the just Heat text and then having Culture and like font that just clashes so much with the other font. Like, it just, there's like, why are you using that font? And it's just weird. It's a weird size in comparison.
It's an institution, and it's marble-ized. It's not just pure white. It's an institution. I'm making up the institution part, but it's like marbly.
The texture
culture.
Yeah.
The word culture has like marble veins running through it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll get to the Heat here in a couple of teams.
Yeah.
I'm going to make our timer slightly shorter because we are already in a deep, long episode. Or do you want to do 12 minutes still?
I guess.
I just don't think we fill 12 minutes with any of these teams except for maybe the Heat.
I guess there's no reason to make it shorter, but
that's true. I'm ready.
Okay. And I guess checking with you, like, time on the clock wise, is there anything we need to be worried about?
No, other than I'm just going to get sleepy, but that's it.
Okay, just making sure. But yeah, starting off with the Atlanta Hawks, whose line is 35 and a half wins. Jacob, I don't know if you wanted to share your screen with me again.
Oh. Yeah, I can.
That was kind of helpful in the other episodes, but their over-under line is 35 and a half wins, which is right where they were last season at 36 and 46 as their record on the year. Heading into last year, their over-under line was 41 and a half. And then as our Hoop Theory power ranking, we have them at 21st in the league. So definitely not great. This line is pretty low, you know, and I think that's pretty reflective of where the team is at. It's kind of been a downward slide, you could say, ever since they had their big break in the 2021 playoffs, where people were saying that the Hawks won the Luka and Trey trade.
I was high on the Hawks. I don't think I ever got that delusional. Did I? You would have remembered that. I doubt it,
but people were definitely saying that.
I was high on the Hawks going into that season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was never that crazy.
Yeah, no, that
was... I think
was...
I still was skeptical about Trey. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, but no, yeah.
That, I definitely don't... I don't think you were on that train, but there were a decent amount of people doing that, and I thought that was crazy even back then. But it's looking even more crazy now. And I think that, you know, them trading off of DeJounte Murray was a step in the right direction a little bit, but not like a ton. It's just kind of like they don't have a lot of great directions to go. They don't have a lot of keepers on this roster. Even their star cornerstone, you know, player is not really a keeper necessarily, in Trae Young, as far as cornerstones go. He's not one of the most stable in this
much
environment.
Much like the Hawks' position in the NBA power rankings, according to the Hoop Theory podcast, he is in about the same ballpark in terms of cornerstone players near the bottom.
Yeah.
Not the bottom, but darn close to it.
Yeah. One of the few keepers though that I do think they have is Jalen Johnson. As a player, is kind of like a, you know, a big wing, kind of modern small ball five type of guy who can shoot, who's really athletic, finishing at the rim. I really like him in that system. But like, there's not much else outside of that. AJ Griffin, one of their younger guys
on the team.
And yeah.
Oh,
and
okay. I didn't know if you were getting to that.
He retired from basketball, I think yesterday or today.
2 days ago, I think. I think it was on Sunday. Maybe.
Yeah, and to pursue full-time ministry, I guess. But yeah, just interesting to do at, like, I think he's like 22 or 23, something like that. Maybe even younger, because I think he was a freshman at Duke because he was in Paolo Banchero. He was on the same team as Paolo Banchero in college. So that's kind of wild. Cody Zeller is on this team. They had the number two pick number one. Yeah, Reese Hoshea went number one. For some reason, I was thinking Sardin. They had the number one pick in the draft this year. Onyeka Okongwu, I think, is another guy.
That was going to be the other guy that I was going to bring up that I am a fan of.
Yeah, young guy that I think is kind of a keeper in some ways. I like Bogdan Bogdanovich, but not a keeper for this team because I think he can be better on other teams, to be quite honest. Clint Capella is old and not getting any better. He's only 30, actually, now that I'm looking at this, but his game has aged much like farther along than his actual age has, which is not a great thing, you know, when you're a rim-running center, kind of undersized too for his position, only being about like 6'9", 6'10", at the tallest, to be honest. And then, yes, not a whole lot outside of that. I guess DeAndre Hunter is still here, but he's a guy who's been on the trading block for a while as well. I did like Dyson Daniels as an addition.
David Roddy also.
David Roddy. Yeah. I don't even know how they got him, but they signed him, I'm guessing. EJ Liddell. Oh, yeah. EJ Liddell from New Orleans. He must have come over in that trade, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they got... So when they sent Murray out, they got Liddell and then sent Liddell for Roddy.
Oh. They traded EJ Liddell for Roddy. So yeah. Liddell went to the Suns then? Is that where David Roddy was officially? I know that's where he was at the beginning of last season, but I don't remember if he
I don't have that there. Written down. I'm not sure. I just know that they were exchanged for one another straight up.
Nice. Big body Roddy. And I'm still a believer in him, so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, the Atlanta Hawks, not the Hotlanta Hawks, as you once dubbed them. My pick on 35.5, I don't know. I guess I feel like I'll probably go under.
I lock my under. Okay. I think they're bad.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think they're just granted, there's a lot of teams that I feel they're just bad. But I feel like this line is the one that I'm the most like in the division about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my big.
I think there's a clear gap in the Eastern Conference between team 8 and team 9. And I think Atlanta is team 9, but there's a huge gap between them and the Heat is who I'd probably call team 8.
Like to the point of where like we should have a number of games where the play-in doesn't happen. Like it's going to be pointless. Like
last year. Yeah. Last year was a huge gap, but this year I think it's going to be heading into worse. The year. It might be worse.
And
yeah.
Even if it's not worse in wins, it'll be worse in quality of team.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how good the NBA is getting over and over and over again. It's just the dark underbelly. It's not great.
I mean, I think Miami, we have Miami to spoil our pick or we're our ranking for them. We have them at 14th in our power rankings. And they're the next team in the East from the Hawks, who is down at 21st. So there's 7 West teams in between the Heat and the Hawks. To kind of just give you a visual,
the perspective
of how bad or how big that gap is. But yeah, I feel like Trae Young probably going to be putting up a lot of numbers, and there's going to be some figuring out in terms of what guys they want to incorporate into this core moving forward for
the future plans.
That's basically what this season is. I feel like maybe Trey goes to a contender. He might be on the trading block as well for them to just go full rebuild as they have a newer front office.
What's a contender? What's the contender that has the money that Trey's going to require?
They have the money, like they have the assets to match.
Yeah, like that's what unless they're losing giant chunks of what they need. I feel like there is a couple teams that have like the depth, air quote, to burn in terms of like going out and getting somebody like Trae Young. But I don't think there's like that many. We're in like this weird spot where like teams that do have the depth of
Julius Randle.
Maybe. I was going to say a team like the Rockets if they're like, but then you just run into more of the same problem. Yeah. I just was trying, but they also have the money is more my thought of. They have Van Vliet with giant money, Brooks with giant money, and then that doesn't mess with the super young, fun core they have.
Yeah, might not. I think the Lakers would probably be a contender. Like, obviously, that's the one that's talked about a lot.
Yeah.
To go get him. I don't know if any of those trades, especially the Lakers one, is worth it for the Hawks unless they get a third team involved to get like the draft capital because the Lakers don't have any capital, like anything that the Hawks would be interested in as a rebuilding team.
Pelicans. So Brandon Ingram, a Hawk?
Oh, I was thinking one of their guards. I was thinking either CJ McCollum or DeJounte Murray. Because then, yeah, you just trade him to the team. You just traded DeJounte Murray to.
I didn't think about that. Never mind.
Trade him for DeJounte Murray.
My brain hasn't quite clicked that DeJounte Murray is a pellet. My brain hasn't done that yet. It will, but it hasn't done that yet.
It's
but
funny, yeah.
It's just an interesting dilemma. It's just weird to me. Mm-hmm. But Anyway, no fair. I'm going to lock my under with the Hawks as they are. I don't think there's a world. And it's 35 and a half, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No universe. No stratosphere. No realm that I reside in will have the Hawks winning more than 35 games. That's insane to me.
Fair. I do feel good about the under. I honestly don't think that's a bad lock. But we'll see what I feel like I'll probably use it on another team here. But I think I could very easily go with the Hawks as well. And then moving on to the next team in the Southeast. There we go. Division. Continuing my geography transition between each team. Atlanta to Charlotte. Just, you know, a little bit to the Northeast.
Some flooded roadways. Prayers to the folks out there affected by the hurricane rain. Because it's really brutal. This will come out. It might be all cleared up, but it doesn't sound like it. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's really brutal to be close to the mountains and the Carolinas. So thoughts out to those folks. Because, I mean, we deal with weird stuff out here in the Midwest, but just unfathomable amounts of water is like my nightmare. So prayers out to those guys, and hopefully everything gets kind of cleared up and lives are able to return to normal at some point. But I know the death toll's up in the 120s, which is just brutal. So prayers out to folks affected by that, because that is nasty, nasty stuff that's just out of people's control. It just sucks.
Yeah. No,
sorry,
for
I just thought of new, like, the geography, and then my brain was like, that blows. Yeah.
But yeah, the Charlotte Hornets, their over-underline is 27 and a half wins. Their record last year was 21 and 61. And their line last year heading into the year was 30 and a half. We have them ranked at 23rd in the power rankings. So it's like, I'm kind of confused at why their line is lower this year. Because I think they are a better team. Pretty like definitive, like in terms of like just projecting, but
I'm sure that Vegas also has their, like, there's only so many wins, and they do that like math, and then they take all their teams, and this is a team that will not get as many wins because of the rising boats of the top.
Yeah,
I think that's where I think they lose wins potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like 27 and a half will be tough for them.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't think this is another under.
Yeah,
no, I think it's a good line, but I think getting to 28 will be tough.
Okay.
The only reason I think it might not be as bad is because of the cannibalization they can do to their own bottom feeders below them in their very division.
I think they're just quite a bit better than a lot of the teams below them. But, and like, in terms of talent, I like LaMelo Ball there with Miles Bridges and Brandon Miller, who had a really good last half of his rookie season.
Quietly. Didn't get the press, obviously, that Wemby got, because Wemby was nuts. Mm-hmm. Or even didn't really get the same love that Chet was, or any of you. He quietly was
arguably something that they could be excited about. Honestly.
No, something that you could be excited about, for sure.
Yeah.
He just wasn't in the same ballpark as Wemby, because Wemby's just insane.
Yeah. Mark Williams is a young center there, as like a, you know, rim runner to pair with LaMelo Ball, I think is a really nice match. Grant Williams is there as, you know, shooting wing. Josh Green is on this team. Cody Martin will always be there. He has been for a long time. Trey Mann, Seth Curry is still on this team. Harry Giles is making a comeback in the NBA, playing for the Charlotte Hornets. Taj Gibson is on this team, just to throw out another veteran presence. And then Serbia's very own Vasa Micic. And another player that they got in the draft, Tijan Salon, was I think he was the sixth pick in the draft, I want to say. So that was a pretty big get for them. He's kind of raw. I don't expect him to be really a big part of things right away. But in terms of just like the amount of guys they have on this team, I don't feel bad about it. And I feel like if LaMelo can stay healthy is the big if, then I think they definitely can get to 30 wins. Because I don't think all of these teams are going to be, you know, 25 and below. You know, like, there's one of these teams that near the bottom has to be in. Because if you think about it, there's got to be two teams that make the play-in in the bottom, you know, bottom seven teams in this conference. And who else besides the Hawks and the Hornets, you know, are going to do that? So I feel pretty good about the over, to be honest, especially if we get a healthy season from LaMelo Ball. But that is a big if. So But you're going to go under on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go under. I feel like the Bulls could be sneaky and get a couple. Maybe we'll have like an icon. Maybe we're all hating on Alex Sarr for no good justified reason. Maybe he's better than we think. I don't know. Washington's really bad, so probably not. But
yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like it's tough.
It is tough. But I guess, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it'll be close there. I don't think they're going to be close to 500, to be honest. But I could see them getting to like 30, 31 wins. Like that's definitely in the realm of possibility. So I'm going to go over on the Charlotte Hornets, and Jacob is going under. I haven't seen anything with their jerseys in this upcoming season, but usually I think Charlotte is one of the best franchises in recent years in terms of the jerseys they roll out. They always do pretty good with that. So looking forward to what they have. And then
big offseason moves.
Oh,
really nothing. They signed Miles Bridges to his $75 million over 3-year deal,
which is a discount because of the, you know,
allegations, stuff around the charges.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want to write them all out when I was making this, a comically large number of buyouts, like 4 or 5.
Cause they got a bunch of draft picks. That was the big thing they added.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just bought out a bunch of people. So
yeah, they took people's salaries of like veteran players from teams to get salary dumps. And they did it in exchange for those teams who were trading off those players to add in some second round picks here and there for the most part. I think the Nuggets traded Reggie Jackson and 3 second round picks to the Hornets for cash. That was a trade that happened. So just kind of funny, but that was one of those many buyouts, I'm sure, that you had seen. Yeah, if you don't have anything else on the Hornets, I think we can move on to the Miami Heat. So one of the few brighter spots in this conference or in this division, but still not like insane. They're kind of middle of the road type of NBA team. Something that I'm reminded of going through this, my dad watching a game not too long ago, maybe like last season, it was a Nuggets game that we were watching against the Heat. And my dad, who doesn't really pay attention to basketball, was like, you know, he was like, how good are the Heat? Are the Heat good? You know, something like that. And I was like, that is one of the hardest questions to answer. Like, I feel like the Heat are the hardest team to answer that question for. Are the Heat good? It's like, I mean, in terms of somebody who doesn't pay attention to basketball, you probably don't need to be aware of them because they're not like a contender at all. And then once you say that, you're like, wait, they were just in the finals. They went to the NBA Finals, and they do that a lot. They go to the Conference Finals repeatedly.
I think that was more a virtue of a insane run that I'm not trying to take away before people start calling me a hater 2 years ago against the Nuggets. They were just on an insane run, and then I feel like they just cannibalized on a young/weak East, and they just were the experienced, older team that just kind of made it work.
But it's weird. The thing about them is, like, on one hand, when you first think of them, it's like, are they a contender? Your brain wants to go like, no, not at all. But then you're like, wait, they are about, like, they have like just as much say for being a contender as just about anybody does in recent years because of what their results have been, like how far they've made it in the playoffs every single time, against great teams even at times.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just hard to be like, they're not good. Because
I think it's just
they outplay people so frequently, but yet their talent is just not up to par with the teams that you would consider to be like the best teams.
I think I figure out why this is so hard, and it's right in front of our faces. I think they just always have the win in the coaching column, always, and that's what makes those weird things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm Jimmy Butler, and like there's guys that are good, but I think the thing that makes them so hard is the on paper, excluding the Eric Spoelstra effect, you're like, this team is not that great. Good.
Yeah.
They're not but then having, I mean, night in, night out, zero coaches. I would, at this point, I think I even take Spo over Popovich.
Yeah. I would have for a while now.
They just always have the advantage in the coaching column. And I think that leads to a lot more bananas insanity,
mm-hmm,
that like makes them so hard and gives you that, like, they're terrible. Wait, actually, not terrible, but they're not good. Yeah. And then you think, and you're like, wait, are they good?
They kind of are, yeah.
I think that, like, 70% of that is on the shoulders of Eric Spoelstra, the graduate of Sacramento University. I think isn't Sacramento.
I think it's Portland University. Yeah.
It's Portland.
Another.
Their jerseys look like Sacramento Kings jerseys. That's my defense.
Uh huh. And it's Sacramento's kind of in the similar geographical location.
It's the same corner.
Yeah.
Pacific but Jimmy Northwest. Butler, no fun media day haircut this year.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I didn't even see anything about that.
He said, you're just getting me. They're all business this year. So.
Okay.
Maybe missed the window. I don't know why they waited to be all business till they were all old and or fluky, but I'm glad. All business.
Yeah.
Did you already say like all their counting stats? Okay.
Yeah, their line this year is 44.5 wins. And then their record that they got to last year was 46-36. The line that they were trying to reach then was 46.5. So that was your underlock from last year that you barely got to hit because they were just a half a game below their line. And as I said before, they are 14th in our HT power rankings. I feel like 44.5 wins is going to be a really good line for them.
Yes.
Because of how good all these other teams are.
I'm not going to lock as instantaneously now.
Yeah.
Because it required an insane run at the end of the season for me to not be... For it to be close, right? Or do I have that mixed around with a different team?
It required
they had to go on a crazy win streak at the end of the season. Or do I have it flipped around? They had to lose a bunch of games at the end of the year.
I think they're pretty close to their line in terms of extrapolating it out all season long. Their pace was hovering around their line the whole season.
I always thought that they had, like, when we did that, like, 10 games in, we did, like, I can't remember when we did a check. But I thought
maybe 10 games in, they probably had a lot more wins than we were expecting. Yeah, that might have been it. Like, they might have been like 7-3 or something like that, you know?
And maybe it wasn't 10. I don't remember when we did our check last season, what point in we did it. But
yeah.
Yeah. Also, apologies to future you. I got the little sniffly sniffs, and I'm trying to get my coughs and all that muted, but there might be some stuff that you got to deal with. So I apologize for that now instead of later.
Yeah. No problem.
I will not lock them, obviously, this year, as I've already used my lock. This is a good line. This is a great line.
Yeah. I do think this is probably going to be my stay away, to be honest.
I think it might be mine, too, which is so crazy that usually the hater fuel in me will just be like, I'm all in this direction or that direction. I think I'm going to stay away. Oh, man. Also, all the lines as I'm looking forward to my slides have moved in directions that I don't like. Like, the world has gotten smarter, which makes me sad, which is a big bummer.
Oh, you're having to change lines right now?
Yeah, just to update them because I was going off of a different list before or an older list. And so it's been updated since I looked at the list and I made these.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the lines are better for future teams. I'm still going to stick with my stay away. For this one, big stuff in the offseason is they re-signed Bam, signed Haywood Highsmith, and brought back Kevin Love.
Also note from future me, going back to that, your pen, this is one of the few times that I've actually been able to hear it on, like, through the Discord call.
Like, yeah.
You've been like smacking it up and down as you're talking on your hand. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so the Heat, though, we're both going to go stay away. It's going to be a tough one for them. I feel like they could get over if, like, the teams at the top of the East aren't, like, as gangbusters as we think they might be, and they deal with some injuries and this or that. But if I had to pick one, I would probably pick under, to be honest.
I lean under, but it would not shock me if we're coming into the final game, the Miami Heat, game 82, are 44-37, and we're just like, welp, it's all on this. It's just got to be the deciding game, and because I just feel like that's a really, really good line from Vegas.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know for sure. And then moving on to the next team in the Southeast Division, we have the best team in this division, Yeah. That is the Orlando Magic. The interstate rivals of the Miami Heat.
And is it I-5?
95 would be the East Coast, as we established in the first episode.
Because I think USF and FIU is like the battle of I-5 or the battle on I-5.
I-5 would be the West Coast. If I-95 is...
Maybe it's I-95.
Yeah. We established in the Atlantic episode that I-95 is what you would take from New York to Philly. So that would probably be the same interstate that's down there in Florida, obviously, because it's... For those who don't know, the interstate numbers dictate or like define where they are in the nation geographically, because the ones that end in a 5 are the ones that go north-south. Yeah. Starting with I-5 on the West Coast, going up to I-95 on the East Coast. And then the ones that end with 0 are going east-west, doing that same thing, incrementing from north to south, or south to north,
south
I guess.
South to north. Yeah, because where 80 goes through Nebraska, 70 goes through Kansas. I don't know where this, like, I know 40 is down in Oklahoma. I don't know where 50 and 60 are. I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know if all of them go all the way across the country.
I don't think it's fives. I think it's evens and odds. I think 0 and it's evens and odds as opposed to 0 and fives. But that's a nitpicky thing.
Ultimately, it is evens and odds, yes. But the grid system, though, is by zeros and fives. So, like, the odd ones are, if there's an odd number at the end, that is one of the ones that has branched off from the 5. Like, it's not by itself a standalone, like, full interstate system or whatever. Like,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've watched a video on this before, so that's...
No, don't need to go down that route. I just was confused by... I was like, I'm pretty sure that there's, like, non-05 interstates a lot of places, and its odds are north-south.
Yeah. But I think almost always those are tributaries of either a 5 or a 0. But anyways, the Orlando Magic, their over-under line is 47.5 wins, which is right around where their record was last year, which was 47-35. And then 36.5 was their line heading into last season. We have them at 12th in our Hoop Theory power rankings. So pretty good team. Definitely in the mix. I think could be a team that is like at the top of the Eastern Conference in terms of standings. Like, could be like the 2 or 3 seed, to be honest, at its ceiling. You know, getting the addition of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in the offseason as an upgrade on that Gary Harris slot in the rotation. Jonathan Isaac having another like healthy season after they just gave him a pretty decently team-friendly deal. Franz Wagner also getting an extension coming into this season. Obviously, Paolo Banchero as their cornerstone
main
of this team.
Guy.
I think that he's going to be a top 10 to maybe even top 5 player at his peak. Who knows? He could be that level of player. And I think he's just going to continue to take, you know, steps developing into that. Wendell Carter Jr., I think, is a really underrated starting center in the NBA. Mo Wagner, pretty decent backup. Goga Batadze, also not too shabby as a rotational center. And the minutes we've seen from him, got a lot of young shooting wings and Jet Howard and Caleb Houston. See which ones of those guys will pan out. Anthony Black was a rookie that we didn't see like a ton from last season, but I feel like might be a guy that takes a pretty big step in his sophomore year. And then Jalen Suggs, one of the best defensive guards in the NBA.
You kind of forget how young he is because of how well he just kind of molded into. I play defense, and I don't. It's honestly remarkable.
Yeah, yeah. He's like Alex Caruso 2.0.
But like, insanely young. It's just crazy.
Uh huh.
Is he even 21 yet? Oh, he's 23.
Jalen Suggs. He was a freshman. He came out freshman year, but he was in the Scotty Barnes, Evan Mobley class.
So he's so young. I thought he was like older, even, or like he'd been in the league less. Sorry, not older age wise. I thought he had. I just forget he's been in the league that long.
Yeah. He was the pick right after Scotty Barnes, so he was picked 5. He was also in the same draft as Franz Wagner, who was the 8th pick. They had the 5th and the 8th pick that year. And then Cole Anthony as the other guard there in the backcourt, as they've lost Markelle Fultz now. They sent him somewhere, I think. They traded Markelle Fultz, I want to say. Pretty sure that's what they did. I don't remember exactly, but he is not on the team anymore, that's for sure. I'm not sure where he is, though.
Nowhere, maybe. It says he's still a Magic point guard.
Really? Maybe I'm just
nowhere.
Not looking.
He is nowhere.
Wow, that surprised me. Because like last year at certain points, like he was probably their best point guard. Like Cole Anthony's good, but like Markelle Fultz was like a lot of times their best option as like the starting and closing point guard. So it's weird that he's just completely not on a team anymore. But we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I really like this team. It's really big. They've got a huge roster, like a huge in terms of height across their. The five positions. I mean, even Jalen Suggs at the two guard is like 6'5". And then just right at the three is when it becomes like the 7-foot territory. I mean, Paolo Banchero's 6'10", Franz Wagner's 6'10". So it's, yeah, a lot of big guys in there. And it's going to be a lot of size for teams to have to deal with and matching up with them. And I don't know. I think it's a young, fun group. I think their offense is probably going to be a little bit better this season, a little bit more spacing with KCP in there as a good shooter.
I also feel like it's important for a team like this to have a guy that's like done it. And I feel like KCP could be a very good, like, vet type of presence that's, once they get into playoff time, like, has been part of a run, multiple runs, and has been an important piece as a, obviously on the court he'll add, but also the locker room and the other stuff. I think he'll be a huge addition. I really liked them getting KCP. I feel like that was a good fit, and I think it'll be good, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know for sure. So my pick for them is going to be over.
Same. I am in love with the Magic. I was last year, and I am again. I am pumped and pumped.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm that's definitely one of the teams that's going to be near the top of my League Pass rankings.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Who's the team we were talking about? Oh, the Bulls. They'll be a bad team, but they'll be like sneaky fun to watch.
Yeah.
The Magic will not be sneaky fun to watch. They will just be full on fun to watch.
Uh-huh.
No, for sure. Because they've got a little bit of everything. No matter what you like, they've kind of got it. Mm-hmm. It's just fun.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And one of the best defenses in the league also, I'd like to add.
Honestly, that's another thing, that the shakeup of the defensive standings with the Cat moving, how that, who's the new clown?
It might be the Magic. I mean, they might be the team that, or the Thunder, probably the Thunder would probably be the team that is at the top of that.
They got Caruso,
So that's, and Hartenstein, honestly. So they've got some really good defensive rotations there, but Magic are right there with them. Celtics, obviously, in that range as well. Although without KP, that they take a little bit of a hit in terms of their overall like team defense. Yeah. For sure, not having any rim protection without him, to be honest. If they still had Robert Williams, it'd be a different story. But
yeah,
I guess that can do it on the Magic. No, we're not using a ton of their time. It feels like they're the team that deserves more time. But you might have started the timer a little bit late, also.
I did start it late.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes sense. But yeah,
trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to touch on with the Magic. I don't know. I just feel like there's like, if you're a Magic fan, this is. There's a lot of stuff to be excited about.
Mm-hmm. You're there's a big like Paolo guy. I feel like that's one of your guys, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Weirdly enough, there's way too many of my guys that are Duke guys. I kind of hate that, but like there's just like two, it's two. Like no. I've got another one
besides Tatum and Paolo.
Tyus Jones.
That's one of your guys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I guess maybe I haven't expressed my appreciation for the unsung hero.
Yeah, that got signed to a minimum contract this summer, which is still illegal. Insane to me.
Yeah. Anyway, but my disdain for the Blue Devils is quite shocking that I like forgive the transgressions of those so easily. Just to be one of my guys.
Yeah. And you're not a North Carolina guy, all right? Like,
no.
Okay.
You're
just Nebraska,
like,
right? You don't
I
have
like Nebraska
a...
basketball. No, yeah. I don't have a transplant somewhere else. I am maybe Mercer. That's the other team that I like
because
loosely
they beat
follow.
Duke.
Yeah, I made a bunch of money and we were like freshman year of high school.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Jordan Strawberry.
Jordan Strawberry.
Anyway, nice. Yeah, I feel like I should have more on the Magic, but I just don't. I'm just super excited, and I will be watching a hefty amount of Magic games this season for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then moving on to the Washington Wizards, which is the most, like, the least fitting team geographically in this division. It honestly would make more sense if they were with the Atlantic teams, but, like, you got to get 5 in each division is what makes that not work there. Charlotte is not too far away, though, so works out. But Washington, D.C. is where the Wizards are located, formerly known as the Bullets, but then had to change their name because of some a lot of jokes being made about, you know, after Gilbert Arenas took a gun in the locker room. And I think the name change was made even before that. I want to say, actually, I might be just making that up as a correlation, but I know that it was because of jokes, and people were like, it became a taboo thing to be called the Bullets because of gun violence. You know,
Imagine if the Washington Bullets would have made it to now. Think how just much. Do they catch more flack than the Washington Redskins? Like, if they would have survived the test of time, would their name get more, I can't believe you support violence? But that's like, it's a mascot.
Yeah, I know.
They all are aggressive, violent things.
Yeah, I don't think the Bullets is that weird of a mascot.
The Vikings are like the worst people in history.
Okay,
there's a reason.
That
all
is a
Vikings,
very subjective take, but yeah,
I'm not gonna say this. We can
the
talk about
worst
this after.
People in history.
No, like raiding, pillaging Vikings.
Yeah. I mean, there's not great. Yeah, they had an ugly.
Yeah, and there's a reason that none of their people are ugly, because they were selective in who. Yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter. This is dumb. Vikings were terrible, ruthless murderers back in the day. Is this a hot take?
Well, I'm just saying, you're acting like they're the only, like, there's most cultures back then were pretty, you know.
I'm just saying that we're going to get upset about Bullets when there's, like, Vikings. What's another one that's just brutal? They're all over.
I mean, in terms of, like, there's, a lot of animals that are, I mean, fierce, nature is pretty gross.
Brutal.
Yeah, pretty. It's
pretty intense.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Bengals, you know, the way that tigers shred through their prey. Pretty violent.
True. Pretty violent. But then the Knicks are just pants.
That's true. Yeah, Knicks are.
That's not.
Well, I
bad.
Think the name is the people that were named person, after the pants. Yeah. Like the Dutch
pants
people that they named, like, they named that because they wore knickerbockers, which were a type of pants that the Dutch made. I can't think of the word, but they manufactured them or whatever. So they got that nickname. And then those people were like the people that formed New York, or New Amsterdam, as it was originally called. So, yeah. History lesson on the team that's not even in this division. But Washington Wizards, yeah, their line is 22.5 wins, which I think is a pretty hefty line, seeing as they only won 15 games last year, and they did not make any improvements, really. 15-67 was their record. 24.5 was their line heading into that year. And that was my lock in this division last year, pretty easily. And their Hoop Theory power rank is 29th. So the second worst team out there is the Washington Wizards.
And I feel like if the Nets were not historically terrible,
they're pretty close. They're pretty close to this team.
That team, like, in the worst teams of all time, these two teams might be top 10. They're bad.
Like, I think it's insane that they won one more game than the Pistons last year. Like, obviously, the Pistons went on their huge, you know, slide.
Yeah.
But the whole time that was happening, I was like, why is this happening to the Pistons and not the Wizards? Like, the Wizards are so much worse to me.
Yeah.
Just talent-wise, Jordan Poole is just not good.
Not even good stats on a bad team, guy.
Yeah.
Just like stats on a bad, atrocious,
and not even
terrible team.
Stats. It's pretty ugly. It's pretty inefficient. Pretty terrible decision making.
Efficiency was part of the bill, but that was anticipated.
I guess to a certain extent, but he's not even like shooting well. I don't know. It's just, and the turnovers, the boneheaded mistakes that he makes play in and play out. It feels like.
No, he gets the flack that J.R. Smith. No, he deserves the flack that J.R. Smith gets.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Pretty accurate. But yeah, so Bilal Coulibaly, I feel like, is one of the bright spots on this team. One of the few ones after they've traded off Denny Avdija this offseason to Portland. He was like really one of my only guys left that I thought was a, you know, had a lot of good upside as a role player. They traded him over to Portland. But yeah, other than that, though, on this Wizards team, like I said,
not high on Valanciunas.
I thought he was a pretty decent signing. I thought there was like other places he could have gone. They got him on a pretty like insane deal. Also, they got him on,
I don't know what the contract is,
under $10 million annually, which is wild because he's a guy that easily like night in and night out puts up like 15 and 10. So, it's kind of wild. And then, but yeah, age wise, definitely does not fit their timeline. He's 32.
No, and their timeline is if you can drink alcohol, you're too old. Like they are extraordinarily young. Alex Saar, George, Kyshawn George.
Kyshawn.
Mm-hmm. Kyshawn George, Bub Carrington. Sadiq Bey is not that young, but he's also young. Mm-hmm. A lot of youth in the room.
Patrick Baldwin Jr. Kyle Kuzma is 29 now. That's wild to think about.
Remember when people thought he was better than Jason Tatum?
No.
That was a debate. That was a real conversation. Give it a goog.
Were they rookies the same year?
Yep. They were the same class.
And Jason Tatum's 25, 26?
26, going to be 27 during this season.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because Kyle Kuzma went, I think he was like a junior, I want to say, coming out of Utah. I think he's where, or UNLV. Where did he go to school? Utah. He went to Utah, right?
Pretty sure Utah. Is he Mormon?
I don't think so. I don't know if he's from Utah, mission? But he went to Utah's not a Mormon school, is it?
No, just BYU is.
Yeah.
I think Utah's, no, I take that back. Utah State is not. I think BYU is the only Mormon school in Utah. Provo, not mm-hmm. the only, but the, but like the only major one.
D1 athletics, yeah. But yeah, so Malcolm Brogdon, I forget, is on the team. I guess he was the piece they traded for Denny Avdija, must have been. I just kind of forgot about that. Corey Kispert is, I kind of forgot to mention him when I was talking about guys that I like that are could fit on teams potentially. Corey Kispert, I think, would theoretically fit into a good basketball team. Marvin Bagley, I think, has shown, like ever since he's gotten to Detroit and gotten to Washington, has shown like a little bit of stuff, honestly. That's like, he's actually a pretty, he can be a player that produces after everybody kind of wrote him off as just like a without a doubt surefire bust after being selected over Luka Doncic in the draft, which is insane to think about that Marvin Bagley was selected that high in the draft. But for what he is now, though, people have readjusted their expectations. I think that he's kind of become underrated, to be quite honest. Johnny Davis is a guy that we've not seen very productive basketball from so far in his NBA career. So yeah, there's just a lot of guys on this team that are might be something eventually, but not a lot that are something right now. And the guys that are trade pieces like Kyle Kuzma and Malcolm Brogdon. So yeah, this might be my lock. Either them or the Hawks, to be honest, but I feel better about, there's just no way this team wins 23 games without something weird happening. You know what I mean?
Like, if we are just, like, sleeping on Alex Saar or...
But even, like, with Alex Saar, he's like a Jaren Jackson Jr. is his, like, main, like, high-end comp.
He's not going to be able to win them a bunch of games.
He's not, like, a self-creator. He needs somebody to be the star, and
maybe
him be,
it's Bub. Maybe this is the greatest rookie duo mm-hmm. that we've ever seen.
Yeah, pick and roll duo. Bub Carrington and Alex Saar might be it.
Maybe we are witnessing the future of the NBA.
So,
and we're if something just like blind, that happens, we're just blind people. They're going to win 40 games on the backs of those two, and we were too blind to see. We were too proud. Jeez Louise.
But yeah, so I'm going to lock the under on the Washington Wizards. What are you gonna
do? I'm gonna stick with a regular under because my lock is used on the other doo-doo shoes team in the division.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad you didn't throw, you kind of separated them from, well, I guess we have the Hornets ranked lower than Atlanta in the standings or in the power rankings. So
the other team that's third. Line is too high.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, so that could do it on the Washington Wizards. I don't know. I don't have too much else to say.
I don't either. But in kind of this whole division thing, I feel like the Hawks' chance to be more disappointing is higher than the Hornets' chance to be disappointing based on what their expectations are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Like, the Hawks are way more likely to be bad than Hornets are to be, like,
I went over worst. On the Hornets. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of why the lock is where it's at for me. But that's the East. We've done it.
Yeah, we are done with the East now, officially.
We're going to kick off the West sometime later, which is good.
Uh-huh.
If you didn't do it when Logan said to at the beginning of the episode, I got a couple things that you can do. It's a little to-do list, a little homework for next time. head on over to patreon.com/hooptheory and just look at the different things you get if you do choose to become a member of the Patreon. We'd really appreciate it. Logan would really appreciate it. And then make me feel warm and fuzzy inside. Also, if you're listening on wherever you listen to your podcast, if this is an audio only medium for you, well, head on over to the rating system and give us a rating. The fat guy talks too much. Logan knows what he's talking about. Whatever you want to say, let us know. Give us a star correlating to your enjoyment level. Also, buymeacoffee.com/hooptheory. That's a one-time donation type of tip little deal. Buy somebody a coffee, that person being Logan. I don't like coffee. Also, then, as we continue here, I forgot one big one.
Mailbag?
Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Hit that little subscribe button. And as TikTok is imploding, we're going to do another giveaway on YouTube to encourage folks to zippity-doo-dah on over there because no words really going on what's going on over in TikTok. So once we get to 1,000 YouTube subscribers, we'll be giving away another jersey. Last winner was Luke down in Arkansas. Shout out. Seems to like it. So that's good.
Uh-huh.
That's good. And we'd love to do it again. We just got to get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. We are about 26% of the way there. Last I checked. Maybe it's higher. Maybe it's lower.
From
I don't know.
3,000 or 1,000.
From 1,000.
Yeah. Pretty close. I think we're close to 300.
Yeah. So be number 300 or higher if it's already taken. Don't slow yourself down. I'm rambling now. I'm getting a little sleepy because our first half went a hot minute, which is fine.
Yeah.
All good content.
Yeah, we had some random news that just all kind of happened at the same time.
This last week.
Us being an NBA podcast, can't take ourselves seriously if we don't talk about the happenings, you know? So, but anyways, that will do it for this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Tune in next time where we will be going over the Northwest Division, I think. Will be the first team that we go into in the Western Conference.
Yeah, because it's alphabetically the first one by headers.
Mm-hmm. And so that would be the Nuggets, the Jazz, the T-Wolves, the Blazers, and the Thunder. So just kind of a helter-skelter rant, you know, as far as geography goes, all over the place. But anyways, that will do it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Stay happy. Stay healthy. We will talk to you guys next episode.
Peace.